Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best.
Welcome, everybody, back to the REI Society podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. Look, today we're going to talk about short-term rentals and why I feel like they are some of the most and best profitable pieces of real estate out there in the four pillars of real estate that I teach: wholesaling, flipping, long-term rentals, and short-term rentals. Obviously, we're talking about short-term rentals now. Now, look, I would highly recommend putting a mix of short-term rentals into your portfolio because it's a more advanced type of residential real estate. And the best part is you get to pair it with technology. You get to leverage that technology through Airbnb and all kinds of different smart systems. And it is the most low maintenance property investing that I've ever done. In the beginning when you're kind of doing self-management with the platforms, Airbnb and VRBO and Booking and et cetera, you may spend a little bit more time, texting and sending copy back and answering questions, but you can systemize and automize that really, really well. Look, so even though short-term rentals have been around for 10 years or longer, I guess it's been around longer than 10 years because VRBO was launched in the 90s from what I understand. Short-term rentals is still at its infancy stage. Short-term rentals in general are at their early stage of growth. And I'm really, really excited about that because right now there's a lot of mom and pop operations and very little institutional investors. You know, the banks aren't counting short-term rental income yet. And the insurance companies. They're not really underwriting them right now. They're not underwriting them well. I mean, you got a couple of insurance companies, one named Proper. You've got SWBC. You got some companies out there that are starting to insure properly for a short-term rental and its guest, but there's not a lot of insurance companies out there. So that should tell you something. These insurance companies there's not a lot of insurance company actually insuring these. So that should tell you that you are at the infancy stage. Even though it's been around for, my God, 20-something years, Airbnb cracked the code and took over that market, 10 years ago? 2010? Somewhere around there? So look, this is the right timing to get into the Airbnb and VRBO short-term rental market. I personally invest in short-term vacation rental homes, and I've got a couple of short-term rentals I mix in, but my thing is to create vacation homes where I can go stay in myself and enjoy it with my wife and kids. But here's the thing. When you're investing in short-term rentals, you need to seek the right and correct locations for you. Ask yourself, why will people come here for decades? What's the demand? Why are people going there? Why would somebody want to stay in this location? Now, I will say this, the rural areas are not so good. You know, I have not seen a lot of people succeed with rural areas unless there's a draw. There's got to be some kind of draw. Like I said, there's got to be that demand. So when you're thinking about your first short-term rental or maybe your next short-term rental, maybe you can do a better play or at building a better portfolio. So when you're thinking about buying your next or your first short-term rental, just think about that demand. Why would they keep coming here? Like me, I've got a Savannah property. I mean, they're building a port city out there. Savannah, Georgia itself is nothing but tourism. You've got, it's year round tourism, which I love. People go out there for different various reasons for festivals. They go out there for the history. You've got Tybee Island and Hilton Head close by. And on top of that, like I said, they're putting a port out there and it's gonna be a port town. And you've got just so much to do. They dye the river green on St. Patty's Day, and you get the most travelers in Savannah congesting that city in 1 week from St. Patrick's Day. So think about it. That's a busy city, and it creates a good demand for me, and I'm constantly renting it out left and right. So that's what you want to think about. I also have another one in the North Georgia Mountains. People want to get away, especially during COVID times. They want to get away from the city, the metropolitan area. They actually want to go ahead and get to the point where they can relax and, you know, stay in the jacuzzi, go forest bathe, go on these nature walks. And then you got the little towns right next door that are walkable, sustainable towns that they can go enjoy a nice restaurant in and sit and go antique shopping. So that creates all year round tourism. And there's big festivals out there as well. And then, you know, I can go on and on with all my other ones as well, but I think you're seeing the picture. You need to find micro regions that are legal. For me, I'm in the Southeast and I'm finding those micro regions. I got one in Hilton Head. I've got one in Savannah. I got one in the North Georgia Mountains. I've got one in Atlanta, and I'm about to launch a couple more. Like, they're all over the place. We're planting them in micro areas that are legal to rent out in short-term rental. Now, here's the thing. You need to make sure that if it's in a regulated area, that you have your proper and necessary permits. Otherwise, you can get shut down. And I know several people who have been shut down, and they kept on going, and then they got fined heavily. So if you're in a regulated area, and that's, you can find out simply through going to my REI Society Connections Facebook group, jump on there, and, you know, we could help you research that, myself and others that are in there. And, or you can just Google it, but make sure if you're buying in a regulated area, you're going to be completely protected and not going to get fined and slapped on the wrist, or even, like I said, worse, just fined heavily. So look, you want to make sure that you pay your short-term rental taxes too. You know, Airbnb and VRBO can do that for you. I am not sure of booking.com. I know a lot of people that are starting to go onto that platform, but I'm not really sure about booking.com. But you want to pay those short-term rental taxes. That way you are doing this legally, like I said. So make sure that your city, your county, your licenses are all squared away so that you don't get into trouble. I know several people who have gotten into trouble and it hasn't been good. In fact, I don't know this person, but an agent out in Savannah, Georgia told me about somebody who got smacked with a $30,000 fine because they didn't shut down when they were told to be shut down. And they kept on going, and now they're getting liens against their property. So that's not a good thing when the government comes in and, you know, smacks you around because you didn't listen. So there again, make sure you're paying your fair share of taxes. You want to come up with homes that have a competitive advantage. What is a competitive advantage, Brandon? Well, you got five things I can think of right now. The first one is a desirable location. You know, talk about my own portfolio again, because that's the way I can teach you. I've got the North Georgia Mountains. I just told you what the draw was. It's desirable. I got Savannah, Georgia. I just told you about the charm and all the stuff that's out there. It's desirable. I got Bluffton and Hilton Head. People go out there to golf and lots of weddings and things like that. They really do it up in Christmas time. There's a draw. It's a desirable location. People love the coast there. Atlanta, Georgia. My home is right there at Little Five Points, and you can go bar hopping and see the urban life of Atlanta. It's a desirable location. So think about what is a desirable location for you, where you and your family would like to vacation. And that's going to be one that you're going to put on your list to do research to find out if it's going to be a profitable property for you when you buy it. Another thing you need to look at is great floor plans. So number two, great floor plans. You want to make sure that the flow is well. You don't want a choppy house just because you got a good deal and it's in the right area. You want to make sure that it's flowing well and people can, you know, moving in and out of the home with ease. And that's going to set you up for a lot of success right out the get-go. Number three, you got ample size. You need ample size. What do I mean by ample size? Is it a box or is it a property where people can flow in and have the right size and room square footage wise for the people that they're bringing with them? So if you're in a Helen, Georgia, and I know I talk about the Southeast a lot. I know I got listeners that are not in the Southeast, but if you have a Helen, Georgia, which is known for its Oktoberfest, and you know, you got 6 to 10 guests coming in, and you've got a little 2-bedroom house that's renting out there, but the competition are all 3 and 4-bedroom homes, then you're probably setting yourself up for, you know, not doing yourself well. So make sure you have the ample size. Number four, good design. you got to have good design. You need modern charm with the historical integrity. If it's an older home, my Savannah home is an 1890 Victorian. We fully remodeled, but we left all the old fireplaces. We did add on and make another bathroom. We updated the colors, but we left the plaster walls. I left a lot of the look. I left the old windows in. You know, we've got different things that we left for historical integrity, but we remodeled it, and it's a modern home. You know, my cabin, I went in and I painted it like a gunmetal blue, which has a purple hue to it. So it really makes people like, man, this looks amazing in the pictures. They fall in love with it already, and it's selling itself in the pictures. And then we got it decorated in bear. It's called a lazy bear chateau or cabin or whatever my wife named it. But it gives you an idea. Our Savannah home is a sunny Vic. It's the sunny Victorian. Then we've got the Nest. The Nest is our townhome or condo on top of a wine bar in Bluffton in the Hilton Head area. And we made it kind of wood, not woodsy looking, but when thinking of a nest, you know, to me, I'm always trying to theme out my property with a name. And when I'm thinking about a nest, I'm thinking, well, it sets up high. And this property does, because it's on top of that wine bar. And we're kind of hovering over there. And I put barn wood on some ceilings in there. And I put barn wood on the breakfast bar. And it makes it feel light and airy, but kind of, what's the word? It makes it feel toned down. And that's kind of what I would think about in a bird's nest. And we get so many good comments on it. My Atlanta home, it's vibrant. It's colorful. I mean, we are a vibrant city here in Atlanta, and it's right there by all the bars and or a short drive away, like a mile or an Uber or a walk. So look, that shows you what I'm talking about. In those four examples, you want to have good design that draws people to look at your home over everybody else's on these platforms. There's a book called Purple Cow by Seth Godin that I completely love, and I recommend it to people all the time. If you haven't read it, read it. It's an incredible book. But he talks about being a purple cow, basically meaning make yourself remarkable and unforgettable in everything that you do. And that's what we try to do in our short-term rentals. We want it to look amazing and completely different in the pictures. And then when people get there, it's even better than what they expected. So you're the purple cow. You get better reviews because you have good design. All right, number five, great amenities. As I've been telling you about these stories, there's a theme in between all my properties. Walkable, sustainable communities. Tiffany and I like live, work, play concepts. My theme for my amenities is you can walk out the front door, or you can take a 3-minute drive to the downtown areas in the city, and you have boutique restaurants. You have all kinds of outdoor things to do, like hiking and biking. I'm going to say wine. You got wineries. You got bars. You've got just all kinds of good food. Like, there's just so much to do. And that's something that Tiffany and I really love is the live, work, play concept. Like, look, you can go down to our vacation homes and you can work for a little bit, but then you can go out the door and go play. That's the whole thing. And if you're looking for a restful side of town, I've got it. If you're looking for, you know, something with a little bit more upbeat and bar hopping, I've got it. So, I mean, look, heck, if you want golfing, I've got it. We've got these houses that have great amenities because of the locations and where we set these up. We didn't just go find somewhere we loved and throw it on the Airbnb market and hope for the best. We actually walked through this with intention, and it set ourselves up for success. And, you know, you can do that too. You can do this too. You got to set yourself up for intention, and that's what's going to make you produce the 2.5 times rents that a long-term rental does through your short-term rental. So perfect example, my house in North Georgia. Oh my God, I've got a $675 mortgage, but the damn thing produces like on any given month, $6,000 to $10,000 a month gross. And then I'm netting anywhere between $2,000 to $8,000 a month based on seasonality. And, you know, I utilize some things called dynamic pricing. So we fluctuate the prices based on what's going on with the area, festivals, timing of the year, and things like that. Kind of like your flight tickets. When you go buy a plane ticket, you'll see that prices are always fluctuating. They tell you to go get it on a certain day because it may be cheaper. That's what I do with my short-term rentals. But I set these things up for success from day one, and then I pair it with a dynamic pricing model, which allows it to kind of set itself up, and I can walk away and forget it. And all I got to do is just go check in on my dynamic pricing once a week. And if they give it a rating, if it's not doing as well as I wanted in the last week, then I'll increase it or lower it based on what they're telling me in the internal system. And now I've got a house, a property that is set up for success because it's meaningful to me. So let's just go over all these notes again. It's completely meaningful for me. And I've got those five different factors that give it a competitive advantage. You know, desirable locations, the great floor plans, the ample size, the good design, and the great amenities. That's what you want. That's what you want when you're knocking yourself out with a short-term vacation rental. Look, it's okay to throw in a random short-term rental in your portfolio, but it's so much better when you have somewhere to stay that means something to you and your family. And it's not always about the money. Yes, short-term rentals make a lot of money. They make more money than long-term rentals. Like I said, they make 2.5 times or more than a long-term rental does. You know, my talking about that Blue Ridge, that LJ and Blue Ridge, North Georgia cabin again, my mortgage payment is $675. I could probably rent that thing out for $1,000 a month right now. But my God, in short-term rental income, I'm making 10 grand. So do the math. Which one would I rather have? Which one would you rather have? Of course, you'd want the more profitable type of rental in place. So that's what you want, guys. Look, if you like this episode, I really want you to do me a favor. Take a screenshot of this and broadcast it in your stories on Instagram. Tag me in it at Brandon G. Thompson and let us know what you think. And then on top of that, if you can go to Apple Podcast or whatever they're calling it these days and give me a 5-star review if you haven't already done that, I would greatly appreciate that. I'm trying to rise up in the charts. And then from there, go to reisocietyedu.com if you are interested in more information on short-term rentals, specifically short-term vacation rentals, where we actually give you action steps and take you by the hand and walk you through step-by-step, through a step-by-step process on how to get and purchase your first short-term rental. So anyways, look, I hope you had a great time here spending this time with me. Thank you so much and see you in the next episode.